So, and apologies to the tech guys who may be caught in the hop that asked Karen just to read from the beginning so that we get that sense of linking in with where we were last week. Because in the reading that Karen shared with us, the first word was therefore. And as the preacher says, when you see a therefore, you have to ask yourself what it's there for. And what it's there for is saying, because of everything that has just been said before, and all that we actually considered last week, if you remember, if you were here with us, that examination, look at your own attitude. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, well, what? Humiliated himself. Now, not humiliate in the sense that we're maybe thinking of, but that sense of humbling. Left the glory of heaven and in servanthood stepped into this world, and more than that, gave himself to crucifixion. As we walk into Holy Week, because of Christ's humiliation and crucifixion, because of the way he lived, first little bit examination, actually look at your own self in light of who Jesus is. And therefore, because of that, live like that. Live like that in the world in which we're in today. This passage is particularly special to me. Again, the exaltation of Christ. Sorry, I'll just keep going there. The supremacy of Christ. But this passage particular, I think it resonates with me, having worked in the inner city for 9 years in Sandy Row and in Manor Street in North Belfast, with a big 30, 40 foot piece, high piece wall across the middle of the community. And so in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. But I'm getting away ahead of myself, because Paul writes, therefore, remember that God works in you. Look with me, and please lift your Bible in the pew there and look at verse 12 and 13, please. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That sounds scary. That's kind of not the way we're reading it, maybe. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Before you do anything, therefore, guys, thinking back in Jesus and all that he has given for us, remember that God works in you. We're not left on our own. God works in you. Again, let's go back to chapter 1, verse 6. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. In fact, I've left a bit of the verse out. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. Work out what God has started within, says Stuart Briscoe. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. What's going on? And he says, well, just work out what God has already started within. I say, Stuart Briscoe, a great Bible teacher and preacher, has said that. Verse 12, work out what God works in. Verse 13, for it is God who works in you. We are not left on our own. God works in you. Someone once explained it to me, maybe a bit like this. Imagine a train track. Well, we can imagine that in Portrush, can't we? But a train track is two parallel lines. God's work in you, and then work out your salvation. Two parallel lines. God will always be faithful. We can be a wee bit wobbly. If a train track, one of the tracks is a wee bit wobbly, well, we know what happens, don't we? And so for us to follow Jesus, to work out our salvation, to continue to live it out in fear and trembling. That's in holy awe, not in terror, but in holy awe, giving God his place in our lives. James chapter 2 and verse 22, James writes, you see that his, Abraham's faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. Folks, in our walk with Jesus, it's not just a matter of the little ticket to heaven and that's us kushti. There is responsibility on our part to live for Jesus, to work out our salvation as God works in us. So God works in us, and also we have to make an effort. We don't save ourselves. We can't save ourselves. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. We can't, but we have to make an effort as we follow Jesus. Little cliche, don't know where I heard it, don't know when I heard it, but it is grace alone that saves, but the grace that saves is never alone. It is grace alone that saves, but the grace that saves is never alone. Therefore, remember that God works in you. Work out your salvation, for it is God who works in you. Remember, folks, that God works through you. That God works through you. Again, we're not left on our own, but more than that, he is the one who can give us strength as we seek to follow him and live for him. I can't help myself, but there's a tin of peas here. Okay, verses 14 through to 16, where Paul writes, do everything without complaining or arguing. Oh, now there's a thing for the church. So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. Purity. Blameless and pure, children of God without fault. We're called to live a holy and pure life. But look at the privilege in those verses, in those words, children of God. Once you were not a people, but now you're the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You are a child of God. We're called to purity, and we're called to the privilege of being adopted into the family of Christ as God works through us. But our position, to be in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life, as you shine and speak, that's our purpose. Folks, so often the church keep it safe. Long time ago, when Karen and I met at Belfast Bible College, the principal said one day, again, I've never forgot it, in the church, what we end up doing is in drag. Now, not RuPaul. We drag people into our place on our terms to behave as we want them to, and they have to wear the right clothes. What God calls us to is outreach. That we're called to be in a crooked and depraved generation in which we shine like stars in the universe. Victor Reed went on to say in this that actually what we end up doing is that we want the people to come in and to conform to our way. We become part of that new community. And so usually within a year and a half, 2 years of having become a Christian, we often don't have any non-Christian friends. That's curious. How does that work out? To be a light that shines bright, that we're called to shine like stars in the universe. Matthew 5, 13 through 16, you are the light of the world. John 8, verse 12 and 9, verse 5, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And as his light comes and shines in us, so it then shines through us, because God works through you. But what position are you in? in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. Not take time to jump back, but in Exodus 34, Moses spent time on the mountaintop with God, and when he came down the mountain, what was happening? And please talk to me. Patty, I can always depend on you. You're taking the place of Ruby Gibson over in Newton Cunningham. That his face was glowing for having been in the presence of God. And he had to put a veil over his face because it was so awesome. Folks, imagine that in our lives, just as we go about our daily business, our lives glow with the goodness of God, a light that shines bright. But to be a star shining in the universe as you hold out the word of life. Picture is Derg Street City Mission Hall on Manor Street in North Belfast. And I maybe told you this before, maybe told you it on the 5th of January. But at one stage, the whole area, bottom of the old Park Road, was being redeveloped. All the two up, two down terraces were tumbled and all the new houses were built. But the housing executive wouldn't build a new hall. So they left this wee old, run-down, ramshackle mission hall. Karen and I worked there for 4 years, not long after Bible College. But the story goes that when the whole area was redeveloped and all the houses were knocked down and the place was just a sea of mud and the houses were beginning to go back up, the Sunday school still met on a Sunday afternoon. And the Bible study and the prayer meeting and the different activities in the hall still happened during the week. The children's club on a Wednesday night. And in the winter months, in a sea of mud, just in the darkness and the blackness of the day or the night, the wee light on the front porch was lit up. And people, the people we then worked with for 4 years, said it was just a picture of a light shining in the darkness. And it was tiny in the middle of this big area, but the light made an impact. Never mind the impact of what was built in to the children and the young people who came in through the place. A light that shines bright in the darkness and the dirt as we hold out the word of life. The word that brings life. John 1:1, we read it at Christmas so often. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. John 1:4, in him was life, and that life was the light of man. Was the light of man. The Word and the light together, folks. And God spoke in creation, and it was. Jesus spoke to creation in the middle of Lake Galilee, in the middle of a storm, and brought peace, healing to the sick, just as he spoke the word. Do you know, as we're told in 2 Corinthians 3, you yourselves, writes Paul, to the church in Corinth, which, my goodness, talk about a church in the middle of a sea of mud and darkness. Corinth was just such a horrible, corrupt place. And there was the light shining. You yourselves, writes Paul, to this church, are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, not written with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Why? Because God works in you and God works through you. Huh. Again, you know, I struggle with English, never mind Greek. But the Greek here is poema, which is where we get the word poem. Huh. Folks, you are God's poem. As people read your lives and see Christ in you, as we shine and speak chap called Bernard says, it's the mystical imprint of the divine spirit on our hearts. I love that. The mystical imprint of his divine spirit on our hearts, because God works in us and God works through us. And his spirit will show itself. That aroma of Christ next door to this passage about being God's living letters, a letter from Christ, is the passage about being the aroma of Christ. Now, to some, the smell of life, and to some, the smell of death. And it made me think about, I think it's Peter and John arrested, Acts chapter 4, brought before the Sanhedrin, and it just simply says, the religious leaders took note that they had been with Jesus. As their lives are read, as the poem of Christ, I better keep going, I'm getting carried away. God works in us. No, already again, God works in you, God works in us. Do you see the picture here picked up again of community? That we are God's people together. Verses 17 and 18. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. God works in us. Was it Simon and Carbuncle saying, I am a rock, I am an island? No, you're not. Sinn Féin, me, myself alone. Not in church, folks. We are God's people called together. God works in us. And actually, as we rub off on each other, we knock the rough edges and allow ourselves to be made more Christ-like as we stay together, even if there's people that do your head in. Stay put and allow Christ to refine you as we live together in him. God works in us. Very quickly, there's two things here, pouring out and partnership, and I don't want to just miss the wee bit. What does this, but even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering, because we could just very quickly skip over that. What was a drink offering to a Hebrew person, to a Jewish person? What it was, folks, just very quickly, is a little bit extra. I've already given my tithe, you know, my duty, my 10%. But in the temple, I'm just going to give a wee bit more. That was the drink offering. That you go above and beyond. Paul says, my life is being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice of your faith. And I've given so much more. I'm tired and I'm weary. But I've given my life, I've poured myself out, given that little bit extra. Why? Because I love you. Because God works in us. Community. God's people together. And then he goes on to say, doesn't he? Poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith. I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you should be glad and rejoice with me. We need each other. We need to serve together in community. The pouring out is that little icing on the cake over and above our duty. But the partnership here, folks, is community. It's a two-way street. I am glad and rejoice with all of you. You be glad and rejoice with me. Chapter 1, verse 5, Paul talks about our partnership in the gospel as we work together, as we serve him. So what's the point? Have confidence, folks, this morning that God works in you. Remember that you're a conduit. Struggling for words beginning with C. Spelled it probably wrong too. God works through you. You can't do it yourself. God works through you. Those parallel lines and community. Remember that God works in us. You'll all be rushing to Matt Adams now afterwards. Okay. Because we need each other as we seek to serve him.